another exciting episode of Video Game Bang.
Video Game Bang.
Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real.
Shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Bang! We're doing it live, everybody. We're doing it live today. Wow, lots of energy in the room.
Woo!
It's like we've been here before.
Let's go.
Have we done this before, guys?
This is our very first intro.
Deja vu. Very deja vu-like.
Oh, man. All right, guys. That was bad. That was bad on my behalf. If you're listening on the podcast, everything sounds normal, but I feel like by omitting the truth, I'm lying to you. We started podcasting for about 3 minutes.
Is that what a lie is?
Is that? I don't know. Whatever. We did like 3 minutes of the podcast, and Ivy's microphone wasn't even like on. So
that was not my
through
fault.
Through no fault of Ivy's. Let's be honest.
I did kind of word that as if it was Ivy's fault. It was my fault.
Yes, you did.
All right. I will fall on the sword and say that it was my fault that Ivy didn't check her microphone. Because Ivy, how are you doing, my friend?
I am great.
Okay.
I'm getting ready for San Diego Comic-Con. I'm really excited. Not sleeping. Also, as part of the whole San Diego Comic-Con crunch, getting ready, making costumes. Emma Skies and I will both be there. I'm excited to see what she's going to be wearing. And yeah, we may be doing some streams from there, but you guys will hear more on that later.
I am so stoked that a little friendship is forming between you two because, I mean, I think it's adorable.
Cosplayers can always connect over cons.
Yes.
Always.
I know, you guys have this
it's
common...
It's like the unifier of all of us is how much we hate life before a con.
Well, I mean, Ivy's costume seems to be perfectly on time. There's no issues whatsoever. Emma, how are you doing?
I'm great because I decided not to make anything new this year because I didn't want to hate myself.
So you're redoing old stuff?
I'm rewearing things I've already worn.
Hey, Emma, does that mean I can reach out to you for emotional support?
Yes, it does.
I think Ivy's definition of emotional support is helping her paint like at 3 a.m. before the thing needs to be on. Because I was with her last year, and that's what happened.
I'm on constant call right now for Rachel and her fashion show, so I am helping in any way that I can. So that's my focus this year, is helping Rachel with the fashion show.
Okay. That's Thursday, though, right?
That is Thursday, yes.
Okay, see, the new costume isn't until Saturday, so we got time.
I've been with Ivy during Con Crunch, and it's a mixed bag of emotions.
If I don't cry and get blood from some sort of cut on my hand onto a costume, then it's not done.
Yep.
Literal
burn
blood,
yourself
sweat,
with
and tears. Yep.
Glue yourself with crazy glue or something.
Burn yourself, give yourself chemical burns, cut yourself. Yep. Like, if there's not some sort of injury in a costume, it's not finished.
He has no sort of cosplay drama or controversy that I've ever heard of.
Just you
and
wait.
He's joining us again. It's becoming a regular occurrence. I enjoy it. Curtis, how you doing?
Bruh, I'm not going to San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
I'm not cosplaying. They talking about blood and stress.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
It's great. On like a lot of my costumes, I can point out and be like, this little spot here, I pricked my finger and that's blood on the costume.
See, I got to stay in Sacramento at home where it's safe.
It's accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so I'm going to take my hat off.
Battle damage.
In the after show, I'll take my hat off to y'all. I respect what y'all do. Ivy Doom, Kitty, Emma Skies. Kurt going to stay his black at home.
Okay.
But it's nice to see y'all.
Where does your cosplay begin and end? Have you done it before?
Luke Cage, baby.
That's it?
I'll give you a Luke Cage. I'll give you Morpheus. And I'll give you Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson. And that's about what you get from me.
Okay.
I'm black. Yeah. I'm bald. I'm beautiful. But that's it.
Okay.
That's all you get. All
right. Have you? What do you think of like the cosplay? Have you had much experience with cosplayers besides these two?
I mean, you know, just going to cons, you know, especially when I was doing stuff with the Capeless Crusaders and just covering them, interviewing people, taking pictures. You know, that'd be the extent of it. Especially people entering like the cosplay contest and stuff. Like, I'm just so curious because
they're a weird breed.
Your words, sir, not mine. Yeah, okay, your words.
I don't want to drag you into.
I don't have the courage for that. Competitions can't do that.
Ooh, yeah, that's a whole nother level. But I respect the craft so much because y'all get precise. Mm-hmm. Y'all be looking like right out the panel. I'm a lover of comic books, big comic book head, so again, hats off to you.
Those who are listening, there's been an issue going on with the podcast RSS feed and the Android Marketplace, or the Google Music Store specifically. So I hope you're hearing this to our Android users. It's an issue with the ingestion system from Libsyn. So there may be a reason why your podcast got delayed. It's not that we've been lazy. Actually, if this does hit your ears too, there's a new app for podcasts called Google Podcast. And you have to download it from the store, but it's so much better than Google Music was. It's finding good, relevant content, bringing it to the top. I'm enjoying it so far, and so far I've seen no issues with it. So that's just a little tip for all you podcast listeners out there. Another thing to be aware of is that this show is sponsored by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. And during the summertime, they have a new special video game bang drink. Have you tried this yet?
I have not.
Oh, it's got our name on
it. I never get out to Oblivion. I never, well, not to Oblivion in particular. I never get out to downtown.
You're missing out. All the things you love, the pho and the ramen.
I know.
It's downtown.
Ooh, pho is so good.
And it's all just a stone's throw away from Oblivion Comics and Coffee. So
anytime I'm downtown, I'm at Oblivion. But okay. I'm not in downtown.
We'll have to make a trip.
Yes.
VGB
field trips.
Hey. I can go do another podcast in there so that I can scare small children with my language. That's what I'm trying.
I'll leave my kids at home.
Yeah, I'll leave your kids at home. And then also we're brought to you by Gamer Sups GG, the energy drink. It's like natural and shit. It's really good.
It's awesome.
It's taken over my
life. Orange tastes the best. It's my favorite.
There's a guy I love. His name is Jay Gist, Jason Gist. He helps the show a lot. He does a lot with the FGC. You know who he is, right?
Yeah, I met Jay.
Anybody in Sacramento in the FGC knows Jay.
Jay's super cool.
But he made a fatal mistake.
Uh-oh.
He bought the competitor. What's the other one? G Fuel?
Do we even talk about them?
I mean, I almost retracted his invitation to any shows.
Dang, rescinded, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he has an invitation to my birthday party, and ooh, I almost recanted it.
You know what? You can't roll with the competition. You got to roll with the wave, man.
Yeah.
And that Gamer Sups, man.
That stuff is chalky garbage, man. Get the Gamer Sups. There's no chalky feeling at the bottom of it.
Nice.
How
and smooth.
Have I been on this podcast as long and I've not had Gamer Sups? I have not been offered Gamer Sups
on
this podcast
stuff.
Yet.
It's good stuff.
You know what their catchphrase is,
that's what
right?
gets me through the con crunch. That's what gets me through my con days. Well, you're at San Diego. Dude, you're more than welcome to my stash.
Because I'm a little... I mean, I like you a lot. We've made a lot of progress these last few weeks, but their catchphrase is "Get your damn hands off my Gamer Sups." That's I believe canon too. Hey. But yeah, use that code word VGB when you get your Gamer Sups. I think I could find it in my heart to forgive you, Jason Gist Lee, because I know you listen to the podcast, but it'll be a tough one. There's a lot to talk about on the show today, guys.
Ooh.
We're going to go ahead and maybe preface the episode with this. If you're new to the show, we like to goof around. We like to be, you know, and we're still going to do that today. But, like, the news, the state of the union that we're in the gaming world,
no.
Like, this was top page stuff. So we're going to start with the news. Here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Webb's not here, so Corey's telling the news.
Oh my god, that was terrible.
I mean, that was on the fly.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you didn't think that through before you went for it.
You know,
he's like counting syllables, and he's like, this isn't gonna work.
Well, to be honest, like, if you notice, I haven't played that theme song since Webb hasn't been on.
Yeah.
And it's because I've been working this week and a half to try and come up with those lyrics.
Oh,
and
goodness.
The fact that you just think I thought of them off the top of my head is really hurtful.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't believe you. I don't.
Not a lot of sincerity in that.
Yeah, not a lot of sincerity.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Oh, that is.
That's even.
I've
less
used
sincere.
That line. So I'm not even right.
Do you use that line? Yeah. That is a me thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. Ouch. Aww. All right. I've never had it done to me. That's why it's.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's a big one, and we'll start with something lighthearted. Fortnite. Emma, you've heard of this game?
Vaguely.
It's got a game mode.
Fine, whatever.
Kind of blowing up.
It's, whatever.
It's called Battle Royale.
I love it.
Ivy, you got to play
with
Fortnite.
Strong opinions.
I did.
What brought you? Yeah. Why so late? Like, everyone already knows about it.
Because I have no life and I'm always busy. And Sheldon in chat was awesome and gifted me Fortnite and was like, dude, you got to play this. And then finally I was like, all right, fine, I'm going to play this.
Nitpick then, moment here, Ivy.
And then we did what? What?
We have a chat where we organize video game bang activities, right?
I don't know because I'm excluded.
You're not excluded. Whatever, we're in it together. Anyways.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the last couple days I've put in there and I asked, like, Ivy, you want to play any games with me? And no response.
I haven't seen that. You know to text me, dude.
Oh, okay.
You got to text me.
I don't even want to go on anymore.
Slide into the DM.
Anyways, so, this game, no, Ivy, how did you do?
Did you do well? Well, okay, so here's the truth. I got past the training part. And then we just did, like, what is it, 1v1 Battle Royale? Is that what that is?
1v1?
Yeah. You mean 1v100?
Yeah. Were you on Sheldon's team?
No, we were against each other, and I kicked his ass.
Oh, maybe Playground? I don't even know.
Were you playing PvP or PvP? Well, I
Sandbox.
PvP.
There we go. We did the sandbox.
Okay. Yeah, that's the new game mode. Okay, cool.
It was a lot of fun. I loved it. And apparently I'm really good with headshots in that game. So
what you're saying is you haven't played Fortnite.
I did play it. It counts, and I liked it enough to play again because I think it's a lot of fun. So I think it's going to be my go-to next to Overwatch for sure.
Have you played the big Battle Royale modes, though?
No, not yet.
I am terrible at the game. I tried it again yesterday, too. I was on it for a few hours, and I got, like, a one kill. It was cool. It felt really good to get that one kill. But I watch streamers who are actually good, and so I expect instant results.
Right.
I expect to jump in the game and I'm like, oh, I'm Svenos, bitch. Not so much. I am trash. I'm the guy that he kills and makes look terrible on stream.
On stream?
Yeah. But they're throwing down some money in the esports game. They're going to be giving away $8
million. $8 million?
In 8 weeks.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
They're going to make that in like 8 minutes.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Dude, I might start playing Fortnite for $8 million.
A lot of people have. That's kind of the way. There's a lot of these fringe esport games that will come around and go. There's the ones that stay around forever, and then you kind of have this pool of super talented players who are just kind of like riding the wave. Word. You see it in FGC all the time. Look at Dragon Ball right now.
Absolutely, definitely, yeah.
Punk, yeah. Momochi, they're all playing Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yep. Like, they're like, oh, if I'm going to the tourney, I might as well enter that
a little
too.
Side bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are these tournaments actually like qualifiers for the big stuff they're doing, or is it just like, hey, these are a little sprinkled over, a little invitational?
I don't remember the exact figure, but they announced a total for the year.
Yeah, it was like $300 million or something. Crazy. It was crazy.
And so this is holy just crap. The first
man
thing we're seeing.
I'm just curious if these are actually gonna matter in the grand scheme of things, like if it's a qualifier for a qualifier, or if it's just like, here's a tournament just for fun.
It sounds like that.
Okay.
It's called the Summer Skirmish. It started today, actually, but it did not do so well. So this was.
So I'm hearing.
Yeah, this was a duos tournament, so that means two people. We had a couple energy guys involved. They got the invitation. What they did is they invited a mix of entertainers and pros.
Okay. So it was a pro-am tournament?
No, not an amateur, because the streamers are really good. Like, Ninja and stuff is really good at the game.
Wait, is he not considered a pro?
Well, I guess he is at this point, but he's like the biggest streamer too, right?
Okay.
So he embodies.
Sorry, I was like, there was miscommunication because when you said pros and entertainers, I was thinking like the thing they did at E3 where it was like celebrities.
Oh,
and
yeah,
streamers.
No.
Okay,
oh,
all right,
no,
all right. I got you.
This
got
one,
you.
Everybody knows. They're definitely know their way around Fortnite. This was, they say like pros are the guys who are really, really good, but have like pretty much really small streams.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so they did this tournament. It ended up, it was supposed to be all on private servers. They were going to do 10 matches. The first two wins can end the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it goes on to kills. Like, they had a full system in place. I didn't fully understand it.
The fact that you're saying this was how it was supposed to work makes me think maybe it's not how it worked.
Well, it didn't work because their servers were bad. Like, they could not get solid connection. The games were, like, legit. It wasn't like, oh, I'm on 100 ping or something.
Right.
Like, where you could still kind of play.
Mm-hmm.
This was bad. Like, laggy. And they ended up ending it, I think, after four maps.
No.
And they said
how do
they're
you
gonna
not test that shit?
I don't know if you can, really, because like, these people are from all over the world. Svenos is from, like, I think Denmark or something. Like, the guy he was teamed with is from West Coast, I think. So,
I mean, even just sit down 100 randos in the seats the day before.
Well, it wasn't like local. Like, the thing in at E3 was all on a local network. Gotcha. This was like people from all over the world connecting to one little server to do this tournament.
Oh man, yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. So I'm assuming these guys have the time and resources. They say it's going to continue next week instead. I don't know who's like in first place or anything, but from what I hear, it was entertaining and well received. It didn't have
John's saying it was not entertaining.
Yeah, Squiggles is saying that the commentators were flat and bland.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't see that because I was watching our guys' stream because everyone's allowed to stream their perspective.
Right, okay. Mm.
But I'm hearing it's definitely no Overwatch League. You know, like Overwatch League has the lights and the cameras and the top tier like caster personalities and segments and packages. This didn't have none of that.
Hmm.
So I think they're going to learn from it. We'll see how quickly they can evolve because this is supposed to continue next week. And when you're going to throw $250K down on a prize pool, put some of that into your production.
Right?
Overwatch League has that look of like what you see on ESPN.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's professionalism.
Yeah, so they don't have that for this yet.
So take some of that money that you're throwing around and you want to be like, ooh, we have so much money. Look what we're going to give away. Take a little bit of that and make some good shit.
Absolutely. Get a consultant or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, man.
That's the issue with esports right now is consultants, though. Like, there's so many people who are fringe esports guys who maybe played for a little bit of time, was a pro for a year or something like that, who then will go to a business and sell themselves as a consultant.
Right.
And it's
you got to fact check, though, right? Like, as a business, like, you got to...
Get on LinkedIn, man.
That's the idea, but they don't.
You better do more research.
I mean, if I ever get fired from my job or have to leave or whatever, I'm going to become a consultant. Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way to do it.
I don't know. I'll go talk to Kellogg's or something.
I've done like 15 podcasts with you guys now. I can be a podcast consultant.
Exactly.
There you go. Boom.
That's the right attitude. Hopefully it gets better. I'm sure it will. This make you want to jump into the game? Because you are an entertainer, Emma. What if you can get into this, you know, piece of $250,000?
Well, see, it's not even a question for me because I'm really bad at it. So it doesn't matter.
You and Ivy team up? I mean, you could stand a chance.
No, I'm really bad. And, like, that's one of those things. I game a lot. I do not game well. And I've accepted that. That's fine. I don't play to be a pro because I don't have the skill of a pro. And I'm totally fine with that.
I think...
I would say I more or less the same, but I rage horribly bad.
I try really hard not to rage. It makes me uncomfortable. Like when I'm not streaming, if I start to rage at a game, I put it down because I'm like, this is not why I play video games. I play it to have fun. So if I'm getting angry, I have to like take a step back. When I'm streaming, I had this problem with Dark Souls. When I'm streaming, like I get very uncomfortable with myself when I get angry because I'm like, this is not like. I don't know. Chat loves it. They think it's so entertaining. But I'm like, I don't like watching people get angry, so I don't like being angry in front of a huge audience. Not huge. In front of a little audience.
One of my favorite topics, and I don't think I've gotten to discuss it with anybody in this on the show today, but have you broken anything out of a gamer rage, Ivy?
I've flung controllers. I don't think I've actually broken anything, but I have thrown controllers hard enough to where the batteries pop out the back.
Okay.
But you have damaged
things.
Yeah, I do a lot of trash talking, not to teammates. I just talk a lot of trash about everybody else that can't hear me talk trash.
That competitive fire.
I know. What the heck?
I have to win.
If a tree falls in the woods, is it like? I mean, is that kind of, are you toxic? But you're just not.
No.
Internally toxic or something.
No.
I don't know. People that break their... Like, there's so many of those, like, videos and stuff. Like, people that break their shit when they're playing video games, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, A, I'm too poor to do that. Like, I can't afford to be breaking my controller when I get pissed off, so...
I'm like Thor. Stop myself. Boom! Another!
But
so no, you haven't broken anything.
No, I haven't broken anything. I can't afford to. I'm like, I'm very aware that I'm holding a $60 controller in my hand. I'm like, I don't have the money to replace this if I just get really mad right now.
I want to come back to you in a minute. Curtis, have you broken anything?
Man, not since I was in my not since I was in my teens, probably. Nah, I just I stay chill. I'm so like I'm super competitive too, but I'm like the like type of focused competitor. Like I put all the fire into like every input, execution, like strategy, and you know, especially like I watch so many tournaments and would go to Smash Bros tournament. So, you know, I watch the Zeros. I watch the Nairos, who's one of my favorite players, and them dudes stay chill until the end when they pop off. That's when I let it go. Yeah, let's go! You know? But other than that, nah, man, keep it chill. I put all my energy into winning.
So yeah. No broken GameCube controllers.
Man, not even one. Like I'll be in a chat, like the Smash Bros chat, and cats be posting like DSs that they just like obliterated, and I'm like, bruh, I can't Gronkowski my DS. You know what I mean? Like I need that. So nah.
Okay, Emma, you said not during gaming, but like, here's a story. I end up opening up to you guys a lot lately. I don't know if I'm getting old or since I'm coming up on 30, guys.
Just let us in.
You guys all in. I remember being a kid getting yelled at for some reason. I'm sure it was a good reason, but I thought it was stupid, whatever. And I had posters on my wall. Mm-hmm. And I'm like old enough, you know, it's posters, paper. But I ripped the poster off the wall just pissed. I'm like, ah, fuck. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I love that poster. I've had that thing for like 10 years. And now it's just gone in a flash of, brief flash of rage. Ruined this poster that I had from my childhood years. And I just got real emotional over breaking this fucking stupid poster.
Aww. Yeah, man.
Have you ever done that? Like, in a rage of like.
No, I've never. Like, I've obviously been very angry to the point where like I want to break something, but I stop myself before I actually hit. Like if I'm gonna hit something, I'm gonna hit like a pillow or something that's not gonna break. Or like I don't know, I don't. Again, it comes down to the fact I can't afford to replace anything if I break it. So
you still have your rational mind in the midst of your...
Yeah, the logic is there in the back. Like, bitch, if you break this, you don't get another
one. You're coming out of pocket. Yeah.
Why do I feel like Ivy has broken things in rage before? Why do I seem like you're a person who'd scream and break plates for some reason?
I absolutely scream, but I haven't broken anything. Like I said, the batteries have popped out of the back of the controller because I've thrown my controller, yes. And I do scream bloody murder, like horribly, horribly bad. But that's because everyone's
you're able to keep it cool, man. All right. I need to let that rub off on
me. I have yelled at my sister before. Like, my sister and I would play together, and we've, like, gotten mad at each other. And, like, we fight like siblings fight, but...
I heard something funny in the store today. I was at a Target, and it was a kid, a small little cute little girl, man, with her mom. And they're in a, you know, a little shopping trip together. It's just the two of them. And the kid goes, I don't want to be here. I hate this. And the mom looks at her and goes, I hate that you're here with me.
Oh, damn.
And then the little girl looks back at the mom and goes, I hate you.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And then I just thought, like, there's a lot of angry.
I would have backhanded my kid for that.
My mother would not put up with that. Oh, my God.
That was an instant slap on the face from my mom for saying something.
Yeah, like, when I was a teenager, like, or whatever, I'm just, like, around my mom. We see some screaming kid. I was like, was I ever like that? And she's like, no, you weren't allowed to be.
Yeah, exactly. I think what could have just been better if the mom looked back at the kid and said, I hate you, too. that was the expectation.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
God.
That's rough.
That is rough.
That's going to stay with that kid. Like, that kid is going to remember that in 20 years.
That's a scar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to go
that's
away.
That's a telltale moment right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Your child will remember this.
Your child will remember this.
Autosave.
All right, let's get into the good stuff, guys. I'm trying to decide which one to go with first.
the smaller bomb. The smaller nuclear bomb.
They're all stupid. It doesn't matter. It's all dumb.
All right, let's go through the one that the road less traveled. Emma, congratulations, man. I don't know what you're doing through the podcast, but you are actually using this platform for much better purposes than any of us have.
I am effectively making change in the world.
If you listen to the after show last week, it went down a rabbit hole. It started with Joss Whedon, and then it ended up going into some Scarlett Johansson stuff. You can explain it better than me.
I mean, Ryan, the long story short is that we had a discussion here on the podcast about Scarlett Johansson's new movie, wherein she plays a trans man and the problematic parts of that, and why there was outrage about it, and what her response to that was. And it was, you know, we just had a long discussion about
it. That was a good conversation. There was no, like, dispute. Like, but you were passionate about it, and you made your, you know, that she should withdraw from this movie was pretty prevalent. Mm-hmm. And next episode of the show, just like you ended Joss Whedon's run at
Batgirl,
you convinced ScarJo to say no to the role, people love it.
Two for two.
She dropped out. She is no longer in the movie. I don't know if she's producing it still, though.
She's getting tons of good press from people from the community. That community just coming out on Twitter and every which way saying that this is positive change. Let's see. This was some. Oh, let me see. I need to cite my source. Scarlett deciding to pull out was a good example of listening to the community, and that was the right thing to do, says Rice Ernest, an Emmy-nominated producer and director known for his work on Transparent, This Is Me. There was a lot more people out there, but hey, this is the change we want to see.
Yes, and clearly I have a superpower, so I will think very hard on what my next soapbox will be.
I was going to say, maybe this needs to be
I have to use this power for good.
I'll make you a theme song.
I don't think that'll be necessary.
You could actually, you can help me. I don't think we need that. You can help me with the vocals.
I don't think we need that. That's not necessary.
I mean, Curtis here has written songs for the Black Eyed Peas. Between him, me, and you, Ivy, do you have any musical prowess?
You and I discussed doing a song.
See, Ivy's up for discussion.
You do not remember this.
I mean, of course I remember. I wrote it in my diary. Of course I don't remember.
Last night, Ivy said she would sing a song with me.
Exactly. All right. Here's another little doozy. Polygon says that there's a couple banned streamers that are really trying to defend their slurs.
So, of course they are.
There's some Twitch streamers and YouTubers who have a habit of using certain terms for stupid. You know, like if something is stupid, they'll say, oh, that was this or that. And a couple streamers got banned for calling things gay and using the word fag in a way that it should not have been used, using it very derogatory.
Yeah, let's be clear. They weren't banned necessarily for using the word gay. It was the slur that they used.
Yeah, the context, the way that they used it.
It was the slur that they used and the way that they used it. That's what got them banned.
Let's see. So Twitch took action on a couple of streamers and gave them some pretty lengthy bans. Their names, I'm going to butcher their names. As you guys know, I butcher the people who are in our chat, so of course I'm going to butcher this. Mo? It's 2M with a big E? I don't know. Anybody know these guys?
I got nothing.
Yep.
The other one's name is Destiny. That's a good name. I got that one. So these two guys got some bans, but instead of just taking the ban and moving on, they're actually really going out and making statements and things. So Mo, I'm just going to call him Mo. Mo's apology was called out by a number of people in outlets like Kotaku, but others argued that terms like gay and fag have evolved online. People are saying that because the terms are used so often and without any malice, then our own understanding of how these words should be, how to use these words should change. So the kids are arguing that times are changing, that these words are, they're not homophobic. It's what they're saying.
Bullshit.
What they're saying. And that it's okay to use these words because basically everyone else is doing it.
Spoiler alert, it's not. It's not okay.
It's not okay.
It's absolutely not.
It's never okay.
I mean, we're seeing this happen quite a bit. And then here's one of the arguments that they brought up. Like a term like dope. You know, I say dope. David says dope. Well, a lot of us say it. It's an informal slang for like, oh, that's cool. But in reality, it's a drug. And so are we glorifying drugs when we say dope?
I mean, even if someone took that stance, dope has nothing to do with a group of people based off of what they look like or who they love. So
the word dope has never been used to marginalize a group of people.
Yep.
Okay.
Specifically for, in this case, who they love.
Yeah. Now, dope has been used to marginalize a group of people, but that's a different BGB podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole different story that we can get into.
Another one they bring up is basic. So basic is just the default word, but in a way it is used to like, do you like being called basic?
Like, no, I don't mind.
I think some people take it personally.
That's the opposite effect. It took a word that was normal and turned it into an insult.
Right.
But at that point, again, it's not used to marginalize a group of already marginalized people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Based off of who they love.
Exactly. So fucking stupid. You cannot take the word that I'm not even going to say. You can't even take that gay slur and compare it to a word like dope or basic. No. Because it's...
They're not the same.
Nobody should have to explain this. Nobody should have to explain this. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous that yeah, it this needs to
like
be explained
just
to them.
Grasping at straws at this point.
Pretty much.
And what's weird is that this is coming from straight people, as far as I know, who have never been at the receiving end of that word and what it really means and how it really feels when people use that word against you in the way that it has been used, and they're like, well, I'm deciding that this word doesn't mean that anymore.
Right.
You don't get to do that.
Nope.
The thing about them kind of speaking out about this, too, and I think it's a sign of, like, maybe something brewing, because that's how these issues tend to go, especially when it's on the online community. They wouldn't have really came out and started defending themselves this hard if there wasn't, you know, a huge group of people that also believe this, that they're also kind of, I think we talked a little bit about the show about how, you know, whatever subreddits you're in start to
you're in that echo chamber.
Yeah, you're in an echo chamber.
Of people that feel the same way. So yeah, they're in this relatively small compared to the rest of the world community of online gaming, where they've decided that in their online games it doesn't mean this, so it doesn't mean it anywhere and it doesn't matter. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Well, are we on the fringe of a new big uprising here on this word, and how much?
No.
How far do you think they go with it?
No. This is just a couple dudes who are pissed off that they got called out and that it's going to affect their income, as it should, on a platform that, you know, is allowing them to, you know, spread whatever they're going to spread.
Here's a question,
though. They're just
pissed off
that they got banned.
Is this a younger crowd that's doing this? Because I don't see that coming from our age group so much as the younger.
I do. I think it. I've seen it from people my age, and I'm, you know, we're all in the same generation ish. I'm a little younger than you guys.
You're skirting the line.
You just
happen to be a little more mature and kind of fit in a little better, but.
And I don't know. Steven in chat pointed out that this is apparently Destiny's fourth ban.
Oh, is it?
So it doesn't sound like this is...
Sounds like... Okay, he says he's an OG streamer. He's been around the block.
Yeah.
He's maybe an older dude. I mean, I was part of the generation...
Don't be shitty.
In my generation as a kid, though, like, we said things were gay all the time. Like, that's just...
Yeah, same.
We would. But then there's, like, the movement came around. We started becoming aware that it made people feel a certain way, so we stopped.
Right.
Like, it was pretty simple. Yeah. Like, and it...
You educate yourself.
Yeah. That's kind of what being a human is all about.
Or someone else educates you. <You're right. laughs> Yeah. That happened too.
I mean, that's fine to... It's fine to make a mistake and learn from it. But it's... When you're going to double down on that mistake...
Absolutely.
And say that... Like, you don't get to decide what offends other people.
Nope.
A person in a, you know, position of power or whatever does not get to decide what offends a marginalized group.
Strider says, people said it, and then they fucking grew up. That kind of summarized it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize that I'm not trying to defend it. It's not like it was the good old days where we were able to say it.
I think it's fine to admit that we did that. There was a time, like, because that was big when I was in, middle school, early middle school. Like, that was a thing. So we said, this is gay. We said the R word all the time. Like, it was like,
Another one. Yeah. And my cousin who I grew up with, it has a mental retardation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it all the time.
Yeah. I worked Special Olympics for 5 years, and I still said it.
There's something about, like, that
you,
just goes back to
learn.
The... Right. Yeah, it goes back to the age-old thing of, like, humans, like, liking to, you know, kind of, like, get close to the fire and do things that are taboo. Like, even back in the day when I was saying it, when I was a kid, I knew that it wasn't okay to say. Part of the appeal was that it was... Yeah, exactly. We're getting away with things. And that's something that I've noticed in the immature part of the gamer community. Like, the more taboo it is, like, especially as we were talking earlier with anonymity, people being able to go and into, you know, the subreddits and all these different little chats and, you know, not have someone hold them accountable for the stuff they say, that like they just get a kick out of it. They're getting their rocks off. And these people have no lives, in my personal opinion. Like, if that's what you get off on, if that's what you thrive on, the fact that you are saying things that would be very hurtful to someone else, either directly mm-hmm. to them or in a
or
place
just
where
to
you
make
think
people uncomfortable.
Right, yeah, a place where you feel like you're safe to say some ignorant stuff. Like, all those people, they got to get educated or they got to go.
That's the important thing, is it comes from people that aren't affected by this.
Absolutely.
Times are changing, and they absolutely need to, you know, we have to change with the times, you know, as a people, as we become more educated about, you know, movements and all sorts of different, you know, like ideals, ways of life, anything and everything, you know, it's up to each and every one of us to also develop that acceptance, develop that tolerance, and embrace those changes and embrace anyone that's different from us and be accepting of them.
Absolutely.
And I have a huge issue with people that aren't willing to do that. They still stick to their old ways, you know? And like yeah. we were just talking right now how, you know, in the past, yeah, we've all used certain words, you know, mm-hmm. playfully.
Except one. There's
whatever.
One I have never said. Just getting that
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
Word.
I'm not going to say which one, but.
We all know.
But that's
because
the
me
thing,
making
though.
You
like,
think
we've,
it
we've
is
all
bad.
Said certain words, you right. know? And. Yeah. Now that, you know, everyone's getting educated, we're all learning, and we're a progressive society moving forward, we all have learned to change the way we utilize that language to express ourselves, to be more sensitive to people that are, you know, this way or that way or whatever, you know, and mm-hmm. that's how you have, you know, like your binaries, your non-binaries, you know, your LGBTQs. There's so many different, what's the word? People, what's that word?
I'm keeping my nose clean.
Identifiers.
I don't want to say the wrong word.
Yeah, okay. You know, so we have to be very sensitive to that and to people's culture.
And it's a matter of empathy.
Yeah.
It's a matter of empathy, because somebody who isn't ever and has never and will never be affected by this is like, I don't care that you're affected by this. I don't care that this hurts you. I don't care because it doesn't affect me. So why the fuck should I care? It's a matter of empathy.
Special Cases says that he's okay with that particular F word. He says, I don't clutch my pearls if I'm called it. I've grown thick skin from grade school.
But have
it's
you
sad,
ever...
sad, though. Like, that you have to do that. That's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way.
That's the tragedy of the whole situation, is there is a group of people who have had to grow thick skin because that was the time, you know?
And mm-hmm. but I think especially in this community, a lot of us can identify with being bullied, which is why it's so weird to watch them grow up and become bullies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
But straight I mean, it's like to bring it back to the point of like gaming and Twitch and stuff. And like, yes, there is obviously, we all are aware that there's a very toxic community and a very toxic language that's used in online gaming. And the fact that it's prevalent and the fact that it is something that we all know about doesn't mean that it's excusable and doesn't mean that you get to say, like, oh, well, everybody does it, so it's okay.
Nah, that's nobody, not how nobody gets a pass. Works. No. Nobody gets a pass. You don't get a say the word for the day free card.
Yeah. And like, honestly, that's one of the many reasons that I don't talk online anymore. I don't use a mic online because I don't want to listen to that. I don't need to listen to people say shit like that.
Yeah. Well, these guys, I mean, I'm sure we'll be tracking this progress. I don't see them changing anything through this. I mean, their bans are still their bans. If they're your favorite.
How long were they banned for? Were they indefinite or were they like 30-day bans?
Let me see. It's strange because you see such inconsistency across bans based off of how big their channels are.
Yep.
Something that these guys would get a 30-day ban for would just get an average person probably a permaban.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it was 30 days. Yeah, Destiny received a 30-day ban.
Gotcha.
So that's a significant
amount.
Are
they partners?
I'm sure.
I assume they are.
I'm sure. Yeah, if we're talking about them, they got to be big enough to be partnered.
Hit them in the pocket.
Yeah, it's just, it's all fucking bullshit. It's just people that don't give a fuck about anybody else, honestly.
And like, okay, that was a 30-day ban. One of the other news stories we have is pretty closely related for all the content creators out there, people who follow this internet culture. But YouTube has terminated accounts promoting Twitch streams.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
YouTube
did.
Can't get anything right these days.
But
aren't you not allowed to do the same thing with Twitch as
well?
No,
you are.
Well, it depends.
You can promote your other... As long as there's nothing against Twitch terms of service on the things you're promoting to, it's fine.
And there's rules like Twitch partners, for example, when they do a stream, they have to wait 24 hours to upload their content to like YouTube or another source.
Yeah, but that's different. Like, you can advertise that you have a YouTube channel, you just can't stream at the same time. But you're free to put whatever links to whatever socials you have, and Twitch isn't going to tell you that you can't advertise this other video site.
But what if you made
a Twitch? They provide a way to send your videos over to that site.
Yeah.
No, but what if you made a Twitch channel just to promote your YouTube? Like, when people go to this Twitch channel, all it is a commercial for your YouTube.
What YouTube is saying is that you can absolutely not promote Twitch or any other outlet on their platform.
No, they didn't
say
that.
Well, they had as they do for anything, they had a justification for what they were saying. They were saying that they're removing spam channels. So channels, like what you just said for Twitch, like channels that are just commercials for their Twitch. So they are stating that they're removing spam. But it's clearly targeted at people promoting their Twitch.
They kind of have a valid point, though,
you're about to read the quote. Go ahead.
So several noted streamers have had their YouTube channels sanctioned or terminated after posting videos that direct users to their Twitch stream.
Away from YouTube.
And while YouTube says that it's just a matter of enforcing existing policy, some streamers say that it's not being done fairly. Team Fortress 2 streamer Cerny, his YouTube account was terminated on July 11th when he received a strike for posting a video titled LOL, which pointed users to his Twitch channel. There was no starting a live stream. So basically, they're okay. Like, if you do a YouTube video and then you're like, hey, by the way, go check out my Twitch streams at twitch.tv/hey, I'm awesome. That's cool. Okay. You can do that. And you could probably even make a funny video that promotes your Twitch, like your highlights or something like that. But if you make a YouTube video that's just a static image that says, go to my Twitch channel.
Yeah, right.
Like, so in essence, a commercial is what you're saying.
Yeah, where it's sole purpose. It's not creative. It's nothing someone would seek out other than you notifying all your YouTube subscribers to go watch you on Twitch.
See, go ahead.
No, the thing that I think is troubling to most people, because, you know, it's gray. Basically, it's at their discretion. So kind of like the stuff that we just mentioned, that is very spam-like. Static image, LOL, go to my... Like, that's very spammy, very meme-y.
And if you have a million subs on there, that's a ping notification that goes to, like, a million people saying to go to Twitch.
Exactly.
Get off of YouTube, go to Twitch.
Exactly, off of YouTube's back. Mm. But that's the thing. It's left at their discretion, because, like, a lot of the comic book channels, actually two of the biggest ones, Comic Story and Comics Explain, like they're always talking about how they, you know, like they will like live stream their recordings of the stuff that they put up to YouTube, and they're literally like the biggest in their field. So if they really wanted to go around and pick on everybody, they could hit those two channels and really, really hard. But it does, I mean, from what I've noticed, it is kind of the more extreme stuff. But being that it's left up to their discretion, it could be something that's lesser, and if someone doesn't feel like it was warranted, now all of a sudden there's a conflict.
If it's a small channel, I don't think they give a shit.
Nah. Like
if you got 10 subs on YouTube and you're pinging them to go watch your two people watching you live on Twitch, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But when it's these bigger channels that have a massive subscriber base,
yep,
that they'll go live to give them an I'm Live notification that tells them to go to Twitch.
Yeah.
That, and for them, for the content creator, that's the best way to mobilize this giant audience you've kind of put on what a lot of people are considered a dying platform.
Yep.
And you want to
true, but aren't there ways around that? You know, can't you go live 5-10 minutes and talk about Twitch through, like, at some point during that, so that you're not violating the spam part, but you're still, you know, promoting your Twitch platform?
Not while, like, being live 5-10 on minutes, Twitch, right? At that moment. Yeah, so if you're live on Twitch, because they're not just telling people to go watch their VODs on Twitch. They're trying to say, hey, I'm live right now, come watch me.
Okay.
Not just go to my Twitch channel and check out the stuff I've done. They're saying, I'm live right now, but I want to notify
all
the YouTube
people. Is that what all of them are doing? Because I only see the one. I only see Cerny's that was doing that. Is that what all of them were doing?
Let's see. Let's continue on the story and see if it... Cause
I mean, it's smart. It's definitely smart.
There may be some other ways people are abusing it, too. If you guys know in chat, let us know. But YouTube has said that it's enforcing a policy to keep the platform free of spam and content whose main purpose is to drive people away from YouTube and onto another site. It's usually considered spam. So Linus Tech Tips is, everyone's seen, if you've Googled, like, what cell phone should I get, you've probably watched Linus Tech Tips. They went on Twitter and said, basically, they are mad that we are publicizing our stream on Twitch, yet another move towards YouTube owning the audience rather than the creators having control of that relationship. To be clear, these guidelines have existed for a long time. The enforcement is new. And then YouTube actually replied, you can absolutely create videos that promote or link to Twitch, as we discussed. But there's no new enforcement. As stated in our community guidelines, if the content's main sole purpose is to drive people off YouTube onto another site, it will likely violate our spam policies.
That's so weird. Like, when they try to, because they've done that on other policies they have, like, where they're like, oh, this isn't new enforcement. We've always done this. It's like, okay, then why are all of these people just now experiencing it? If this had been, like, this wouldn't be news if you'd been doing this already.
When you work in a company, or, you know, anywhere, when you work, some guy comes into work with that shower idea. Hey, this is a problem. Let's start enforcing it because we're losing a lot of people to Twitch.
Yep.
You know, a guy just thought of it. So they're like, well, we do have this policy, you know, Section 5QA.
Right.
And then they do it and then they get in trouble because it's been there forever. But I don't know. I think it's valid. I don't think it's going to save YouTube by any means.
I think it's just another nail in the coffin of YouTube. If this were an isolated incident and they weren't having any problems, it wouldn't be such big news. But they are having problems. Like, they are actively, like, destroying their own platform consistently.
Stuff like this just drives people to Twitch.
There's no retention.
Yeah.
There's no retention. People are jumping ship because of all of the changes that they've been making.
Exactly.
So now's the time, guys. Create a YouTube channel. Get yourself out there.
No, now is not the time. YouTube is garbage now. You are fucked.
You're not going to do that YouTube live?
No.
YouTube is terrible.
They don't have a partnership program like Twitch does yet, right?
Nah, but they got Super Chats, though.
Sort of. Technically, there are YouTube partners. You have to have, like, X amount of world, like, global views and X amount of content posted, and that opens up things like getting revenue. Or like putting ads before your video, custom thumbnails, like that kind of stuff. There's a threshold for that, and that's the YouTube partners.
So I mean, I'm fortunate to have a juggernaut of Instagram, actually a couple Instagram professionals here. Like, cosplayers are the best Instagram people. Like, you guys know the analytics. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you guys know peak times of posting, how many times to post a day. And as an actual, like, guy who gets paid to do social media, I'm a novice compared to you guys. Like, I need to pick your guys'
brains.
I mean,
I'm not on that level.
I've seen your stories, Emma. Don't pretend.
You're pretty good, Corey.
No, not nowhere near your
level. I've seen your stuff. Well, not on Instagram, but I've seen your stuff on Twitter.
You know, I'm great at my job, but Instagram is like, I'm a neophyte.
Instagram is weird because it's alive and dead and then alive and dead. Yeah. And algorithms change so often that you just kind of screw around with it. You tweak with it, see what works and what doesn't. And then when it stops working, then you switch it around again. There's a rise and a fall.
Ivy, you played with Instagram TV yet?
What?
Have you messed with IGTV yet? Instagram television?
What is that?
That's their new long-form video. They're trying to compete with YouTube and Twitch.
Yeah.
So I do not know what this is.
In talking about the destruction here of YouTube, Instagram, like, and this is new. This is, like, only the last couple weeks, have implied this thing called IGTV to take a stab at long-form content. Like, minimum has to be a minute, maximum, like, I don't know, an hour, I think. I don't know. I can't remember how long it goes.
It's like Instagram stories, like, when you're doing your live streams. It's like
you can post videos on IGTV, you like the way videos that you would on YouTube.
So is this a separate platform?
No, it's on Instagram.
Kind of. It's built into Instagram. But next time you boot up the app, top right corner, there's like a little TV thing.
All right.
And this is instructional
right now
for everybody who's listening.
Instagram.
Let's all do it together, everybody.
Yeah, let's all do it.
Yeah, and of course, the first things I see, beauty YouTuber, like the biggest beauty YouTuber on the platform, Nikki Tutorials.
Oh, crap.
Stephen Amell, Maya Shibutani, like, yeah.
This is
like all upload long form videos channel that they might normally upload to YouTube because it's the only place, but they have a larger following on Instagram, maybe.
Yeah, and that's like, nobody's saying Instagram is dead.
Oh,
because
sweetness.
It's not. Done. Like, even though Facebook is going through all its problems, like, the returns, just the point, the number of conversions. I've been reading studies. It's a gold mine for businesses, for cosplayers, like anybody who wants to get their shit seen. You're getting so much more visibility when you make one of those Instagram stories. Like, because there's a bunch of idiots like me who just get, like, this addiction of just, like, I don't give a shit about most of them, but I have to see them all.
There's something to be said for the fact that it appears, I don't know if Instagram has confirmed this, but it appears that your posts, like, your regular posts on Instagram go so much further if you also utilize stories.
Yes.
Because they will show more people your content because they want you to use their shit.
And everybody does it.
And it's stuff, and it's stuff that you don't, like, there's no way to learn this stuff. Like, I'm in a marketing group on Facebook. I'm in a cosplay marketing group where basically we all share, like, okay, this is the new theory on how this Instagram algorithm, but there's no confirmation from Instagram on any of it. So, like, things
it's
like
Shadow It's not a pod, Man, right?
What's that?
It's not an Instagram pod, right?
No. No, because those are not, those are,
what is
those
that,
get you
Ivy?
Banned.
What is that?
An Instagram pod is where you set up.
I want to see what Ivy's definition is. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, so yeah, no. Instagram pods pretty much will be the death of you on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's a group of people that you can post a you know, a link to whatever photo, video, whatever that you're posting on Instagram and tell everybody in that group, hey, make sure you guys like and comment and this and that on my photo so it can boost the numbers up. But Instagram's gotten wise to that, so they keep an eye out for that. And if you do that, they pretty much shadow ban you.
Yeah, yeah. Shadow banning is big on Instagram, and that's one of the things that people are trying to
talk about.
What
does that mean?
Your content isn't necessarily banned, but they won't show it to anybody.
So they kill the visibility of it. Pretty much the way of Facebook with public pages and business pages is exactly what's happening to pages on Instagram with shadow banning.
Interesting.
Yeah, but so there are certain... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say. So I did learn from someone, for anyone listening, a nice little thing you can do to kind of tweak with, you know, the algorithm is if you're going to post a photo, there's certain apps that you can use where you can make part of the image move. Like, let's say you're, you know, at a lake. You can make that water move using a certain app where it, you know, mimics the movement of the water. You post that, and for some strange reason right now, Instagram is using that as video, and that's boost, that can boost your Instagram page versus
exactly
just posting
what Facebook
the plain photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you do that, it helps a lot with your visibility.
Yeah, because
videos
want...
also help a lot more than just a straight up photo.
And the, and that's like a basic thing. Like Twitter has done forever. Like, and I remember when I learned this lesson. If a lot of YouTube creators will make a fire piece of content, and in their tweet, they'll just copy and paste the URL, and you know how it does that thing where you could watch YouTube through Twitter. Twitter doesn't like that. Because they're not getting the points,
right,
you know. They're
right.
not getting the, you know. YouTube's still getting the ads or whatever you right. see through that. So they nerf those, the visibility of those posts.
Mm.
And if you upload it native, which means to Twitter,
yeah,
they're like, oh yeah, baby, let's let people see that
because it's original content for
but what
them.
They,
Facebook
what,
is.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, what are they doing with Periscope though?
Periscope.
They're not really doing anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not doing
anything.
It's just
kind of there.
Yeah.
So
it's this nebulous thing that.
But that's there's advantage in that because if you use Periscope and you're a Twitter person, you're going to get some pretty nice visibility.
And Facebook is like the obvious, most heinous example of that, where like they prioritize photos over text, videos over photos. And so it was actually kind of funny because it was fairly recently, I want to say within the last few months, where it became very obvious that, that videos did better. So you have all these sort of meme accounts on Facebook that like you like a page because they just post funny memes.
Yeah.
And they noticed that their posts aren't being seen because videos are better than photos. So they took their meme photo and they turned it into a video.
Okay.
And so it just is a static image. So then Facebook started nerfing posts that were static. So then they took those videos and they added floating triangles. So you'll see those videos on Facebook that's just a picture with a bunch of floating triangles.
Oh.
That's to fight the algorithm because they realized that static images, like that people were doing that. The new thing that I've seen is they took the same thing. And then so Facebook realized they were doing that. So somehow they recognize the floating triangles now and they nerf those posts. So now you'll get a meme post that is two videos stacked on top of each other. And when they're stacked in the post, it reads like a full picture because posts with multiple videos are not being nerfed yet. And it's like this weird
cat and mouse.
Yeah, it's this battle between memers and Facebook.
Yep.
Tom and Jerry.
But it's really frustrating because, you know, look at my page, for example. Look at my Facebook page. Look at my Instagram page. If I was to pay for the advertising on that alone for Facebook to hit even, I don't know, 20,000 of my followers, I'd have to pay at least $1,000 or $2,000 just for one post for a day or two of visibility.
Facebook is definitely pay to win in social media.
And honestly, and like I've followed you for a very long time on Facebook. I can't remember the last time I saw one of your posts. And it's the same with every cosplayer that I follow. I can't remember the last time I saw a cosplay post on my Facebook. And I follow so many.
And in response to that, for anyone that cannot see any of our pages, either Emma's or Video Game Bang, Ivy Doom Kitty, your page, if you have a page, you have a page. I know you do.
Somewhere deep in the internet, I got one.
But for everybody that, you know, for, if you guys want to see our content, especially on Facebook, make sure that, one, you're following the page. Two, you select your notifications to see first. Because that will bump that anything that we post at the very, very top of your feed. Otherwise, it's gone.
I don't know if that works anymore, though. Because I did that when it first came out, and it was limited to 10. I don't know if it still is. And I filled up all 10 see first spots. And I can't even remember who's in those spots because I don't see them.
Well, Twitter knows what you want to see. I mean, Facebook knows what you want to see more than you do. That's the important
thing. Clearly, that's not true. But, yeah, they think they do.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if you guys remember seeing this a few weeks back, or maybe it was about a month back, where they were saying that it was like a post about ads. Hey, you know, we want to make ads more catered to your likes. So, you know, you can go ahead and select this and opt in for this. But if you don't, we're still going to show you ads, but they may not be things that you care for.
What did you choose?
I ignored it.
I use
which
social
means
fixer.
I'm screwed. I don't want to see ads.
Do you want ads? Well, you're going to see them regardless. That's just
you
the
don't
world
have to if you're
live
on
in.
Desktop. I use social fixer and I have it turn off ads.
Or if you have ad block, but that's
I'm
bad.
Always I on my phone. Like I never ever use
desktop Facebook.
Do you want targeted ads, Curtis? Or how does that make you feel? Do you feel like your privacy? Where's the line between your privacy and, you know, oh, this is kind of convenient because I might actually want one of those.
Oh, I want everybody to leave me the hell alone. I don't want nobody telling me what I should be looking. Every time I know I go on Guitar Center and then I start scrolling down, like even Boxed In, I'm like, man, really? Y'all got me with the cookies. Yeah, no, I don't want any. I know what I'm looking for.
But if you're gonna get ads, you'd rather have them like for completely random stuff? Or would
would rather have them be super random because I'll probably like look and laugh as opposed to like scrolling down and be like, okay, so you in my business again, Facebook?
Right.
Okay.
I'd rather have them random because that means they're not like watching every single thing I do on my computer.
Exactly.
What was funny is there was a Reddit thread forever ago, but I always remember this. There was a Reddit thread on like an Ask Reddit that was like, people who left Facebook, what was the final straw for you? And this guy I was talking about, he was like, I left Facebook after this because he had been, he was looking for like, or talking about going like canoeing. He was looking for a canoe or something. And he never searched for it on his computer. He never searched for anything remotely related to camping or hiking or canoeing or boats or anything. But he had talked about it with his buddy. And then he was like, I swear to God.
Alexa.
That night I had an ad for canoes. And he just had multiples. And he's like, all I ever did was physically speak about it. Yep. And then he deleted Facebook.
Wow. I think it was Trump's, like, that election. That election screwed it up for me.
Yeah.
Word.
Oh, boy.
We didn't even get to the good stuff.
We didn't even get to the good stuff, guys. Well, we got to save something for next week. Dang.
I won't be here.
No. Okay, we'll save it.
Neither of us
back.
Will be here.
True.
Show didn't even get to its big thing. Oh, actually, you know what? As the host of the show, there's a third option, people.
You can just extend the show.
I can extend the show.
Oh, snap.
I think
you can extend the show for one more topic.
I think we're going to go 10. We're going to add 10 minutes.
Overtime?
We're going overtime.
OT?
Okay.
Ten is good. I can go with 10.
We got 10. All right. We're on the clock. Yeah. That means we're on the clock.
Let's do.
Yes.
Here we go. This is a big one here. All right.
Let's drop the bomb.
Gamergate.
Woo.
The subreddit. There's like a subreddit that I guess is kind of people, I guess, will recognize it as the Gamergate one. It's called Kotaku in Action. You may have heard of it. It's KIA. And it got shut down for like an hour. And it doesn't seem like a huge deal. But it ended up getting a lot of coverage from the media. And I'll just go through the article that Engadget, you know, I thought did a good job of putting together. So Gamergate was a huge deal, obviously, mostly because the internet becomes incredibly volatile at perceived slights against white men. But as it turns out, the founder of one of the movement's most potential potent social channels has had enough. So what had happened was the guy was a mod. Emma spent way too much time on their subreddit today researching. So she'll,
it was like half an hour. It wasn't that long.
Which was way too much time. So she... We got to see a lot from their perspectives. They're saying this guy was never like a head mod, quote unquote. He did create it. He was an original dude, and he made this subreddit. And he had had enough. He said he had a lot of. He came out with a giant, you know, thing, a breakdown on why he did what he did. But in summary, he says that the subreddit had evolved into a cancerous growth.
Like it didn't start that way.
I mean, maybe not, because if you'll remember, Gamergate is supposedly...
What is it about?
I got to give people the facts.
Allegedly.
Right? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
This was made to fight ethics in journalism. So, like, maybe someone gives a game a review that's way too high because they got paid under the table. That, to me, is what ethics in journalism should be about. Like, there's a lot of corruption. I did years worth of writing reviews for TV shows and video games, and I've gotten to go to the parties where they schmooze you, and I've become friends with people at that company where it's hard to write a negative review, and you have to come to that decision of, like, well, they did just give me, like, a backpack filled with all these crazy things you could ever want, but the thing was kind of not that great, but I'll be honest. And so that does exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are corrupt people out there who do it, and there's great ones.
Absolutely.
But was that what Gamergate was about?
We didn't start talking about it.
No, it was not.
Until it got controversy, which, again, I'll let Emma kind of explain a little bit of what Gamergate was.
I mean...
I didn't mean say I'll let you in that kind of way. Like, I'll be polite.
I'm going to let you finish.
Okay.
But Gamergate.
I need to be careful.
But Gamergate has a great...
I don't know who's listening to this one.
Yeah, no. I mean, the long and short of it is that a bunch of angry online dudes decided that this developer had slept her way to good reviews. They were like, oh, we have all this proof, and we have this, and we have that, and obviously she banged every reviewer in the fucking world.
Wasn't it a jilted lover who kind of came out?
It was her ex-boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend put this big fucking online post up, because that's what you want to believe.
It was Reddit, I believe.
Like, yeah, he put a big old thing up on Reddit, and it basically came down to the fact that she had slept with all these reviewers to try and get good reviews on her game. And that was where it all started.
And then basically...
And it grew.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it grew. And it grew. And it was very clear to most of us that this was just guys that had an issue with women in gaming.
Mm. Yeah, but in the big parts that crossed the line is that this developer started getting a lot of death threats. She was getting doxed or whatever the kids are doing.
Doxed.
Yeah, they're getting doxed. And it started spreading. People who were defending that person started getting death threats, and it just got really ugly. It strayed very far from what
it
their
did. And
original
I remember
message.
When it grew past Zoe Quinn, who was the developer, and it grew to Anita Sarkeesian, and I remember seeing that she was being also doxed, death threats. It's very important to include in that rape threats. Always, always, always with the rape threats. So death threats, rape threats, doxing. They doxed her family, her parents. Like, they went after her friends. Like, it was...
I think she had to move.
She had to move out of her house for a time.
They leaked her address.
It was like, it was a fucking nightmare. And all the while, these fucking assholes are trying to pretend that it's about ethics and journalism. And it's absolutely not. And even if you want to be nice and say that's what it was and that's what it was supposed to be, that absolutely does not excuse what they did to these people. Right.
Yeah.
And honestly, as a woman, that's what always comes out the gate.
Yeah, it's a rape threat.
Ivy, were you lucky enough to kind of stay out of the whole Gamergate controversy, or did you get pulled into it or made aware of it by anything? Because I don't think, you know, we were really talking so much at the time.
I stayed out of it. I didn't know much about it, so I stayed out of it. There was one instance where a former person that I worked with had said that they were being harassed by Gamergate or were going to get doxxed or whatever. Those claims are unsubstantiated, and there's no proof that actually did occur. We no longer work together.
All right. Well, Kotaku in Action is named after the former Gawker-owned property Kotaku, which was founded in 2014. It was temporarily nixed after the moderator David-Me posted a lengthy diatribe railing against the racism and sexism that has infested the channel. He argued that the shutdown was taken in direct response to the ubiquitous levels of hate speech found in there. This was supposed to be an ethics in gaming journalism, after all, he said. Until now, the KIA, one of many cancerous growths that have infiltrated Reddit, the internet, the world, David wrote, "I did this. Now I'm undoing it. This abomination should have always been aborted."
Wow.
So he came to a term. Maybe he got a girlfriend.
or just some fucking perspective.
Something changed. In a perfect world, he did start it all about ethics and journalism, and he just kind of got forced on this wild ride. And
well, it's saying that it was a direct response to the ubiquitous levels of hate speech that are found there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the entire, that entire community is sexist and racist. And, like, if you're not a straight white dude, what? They don't give a fuck. But, like, and it's these people that feel like they are being pushed out of gaming because women are being seen. Because LGBTQ members are being seen. Because people of color are being seen.
How do you get pushed out of gaming? That's what I don't even understand.
They're not getting pushed out.
This is so crazy.
They're like, at this point, you know, it used to be 99.9% straight white dudes and 0.01% everything else.
Yeah.
And it's come to a point where the other part is raising up.
Right.
But that's not, like, that doesn't push them out. It doesn't make them lesser, but they feel, we were just talking about this, one of the top threads on that Reddit subreddit today is a guy who feels, he was like, oh, how did he write it? He was like, what is with the constant hating on straight men?
Right.
He was
right.
Like, straight men are the number attack. One. Yeah, constantly the constant attack. That was it. It was the constant attack on straight men in the gaming community. Why are straight men, you know, the number one oppressed people in the gaming community? And it's like, you're fucking not.
Right.
You are the top fucking dog.
Yeah, it's just now you got to share the sandbox.
Exactly. And the fact, to people at the top, equality feels like oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are used to being at the top, and they are used to being the only voice heard. So when other people have a voice, they feel lesser. And it's just, and it's like, if you scroll through that thread, it's all people just agreeing with him. It's all people that are like, oh, well, you know, SJWs run everything. And as soon as you use that as a fucking insult, it's done. It's
SJW,
done.
For those unofficiated, stands for Social Justice Warrior. Which and is literally that's basically their go-to insult for anybody who defends women.
Women or minorities anybody in the LGBTQ community, like, is an
It's a very Trump-esque
thing. Well, God of Knockers said it well. The moral of the story, have standards and keep your uber personals off the internet.
Well, that's the thing about Reddit. It's just a place where people go in there and they stew. Like,
it's weird, though, because people will dig and dig and dig until something you didn't even know was on the internet. They find it. You didn't know that your address could be seen at this place. You didn't know that your phone number could be seen at this place. But they will dig until they find it, and then they will use it against you. So it is not...
It is a string.
It's smart to be safe on the internet. It is very smart to be safe on the internet to not put... I mean, at this point, don't even put your real name out there. You know, don't put your name. Don't put, you know, anything that
Skies
could possibly
use... Skies isn't your last name?
Now they all know.
Oh, no.
I was born Doom Kitty.
So. Yeah. Doom Kitty's a hell of a last name.
But yeah, putting the onus on the people that are being doxxed to not be doxxed doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you shouldn't have had that information out there. This person shouldn't have spent 4 hours digging to find my shit.
To invade my privacy.
The thing I'm kind of discovering in a life little lesson, I learned it from Shark Tank, which is like... You know, you could pull little nuggets of usefulness out of there. But one of them was like, if you're hanging out with three broke people, you're going to be the fourth, is what they said. But that applies to, like, a lot of other things as far as, like, who you're associating with.
Well, there's a saying that goes that you're most like the five people you spend the most amount of time with.
And
you develop those personality traits, you become just like them. So if you're hanging around people that are crap, guess what? You're going to be a crap person, too.
Yeah, and the internet's like that times a thousand. Like, if you're just going to this one Reddit every day where everybody thinks the same way and there's no new ideas and everybody is bad or, you know, and the world is out to get you, you're going to really let that seep in deep. And you're not going to be thinking rationally, and you're not going to be making good decisions for the betterment of this human race
and even
and
beyond
planet that we all have to share.
Yeah, and even beyond something like this Gamergate thing, like, we are all guilty of that. The fact that I am surprised that there are people that are actually like this and actually really think like this is proof that I I exist in a bubble at some points because I surround myself with communities that I agree with. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I can look at this and go, oh, holy shit. People actually think that straight men are the biggest, you know, the most oppressed group out there. Like, the fact that that's surprising to me is proof that I am guilty of the same thing in a different way.
But being aware of it is such a good step. Like, you know, someone who can come to the realization, I'm not so worried about. I have a feeling that you got a good head on your shoulders and you'll be able to adjust as such, but. You just got to step outside yourself every once in a while, everybody. Just do it, man.
And have those conversations. Like, that's how people grow. The two sides got to talk and find out what's going on. And don't got to agree, but we, you know, got to find a happy medium or just get down to what's right. And some people just got to wake up.
Yeah.
But let's do it, y'all. Come on.
We'll finish the story out. So to the detriment of the gaming culture as a whole, the subreddit was, so I'm reading quotes, so don't say, Corey said that to the detriment of the gaming, this was a very
You are
strong,
quoting.
Yeah, I'm quoting this whole thing. So to the detriment of the gamer culture as a whole, the subreddit was reinstated by Friday morning to all 100,000 of its members.
And I'll own up to that quote.
It was once again able to share their conspiracy theories about how the humans with ovaries are somehow incapable of understanding how video games work. If it sounds like an argument that only a misogynist would make, congratulations, because you're actually a functional member of human society. Actually, clever article, well written. I tend not to even like things that are on that far of the right side because I feel like, I don't know, you just got to... Just be good. I don't know. I'm done, man.
Just don't this be
is
an
a,
asshole.
This was a controversial episode. I hope it delivered. I think we tackled a lot of huge issues in an hour and
we
10 minutes.
We covered quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. All we have to do is end world hunger.
We'll cover even more in the after show.
That's next.
Yep, that's next on the after show. We're going to end world hunger.
In the after show, we discuss incels.
Oh.
I'm full of shit. I'm just kidding.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we should.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. If you haven't already, please help us out. If you're in Twitch chat, there's a lot of you guys tonight. Thank you so much for those for the love and the activity. In the after show, we do pay much more attention to chat. I got to be completely honest with you. We run a podcast, and it's not always entertaining for those people to hear us like interact with chat. They kind of want to hear our opinions on things, and you know, for the most part, we have good download numbers, and we got to keep those people fed. And then we hang out with you guys during the after show. But if you're on the after show, give us a rate on our podcast. If you have an iPhone, you can go to iTunes and find us very easily. Same thing if you're using Google. You can find us in Google Music or the new Google Podcast app. Spotify, even. Everybody listens to Spotify. We are on Spotify as well. Rate the show. Listen to it there. Let your friends know what you're listening to. That's how podcasts get popular. And that's we want to continue to make good content for you guys. You can also help us keep the lights on by subscribing onto Twitch. You can use your Amazon Prime membership. It really goes a long way to help this show get made and some improvements down the road. We have some big appearances for some of our marquee members of the podcast. Ivy Doom Kitty, again, let people know what your schedule is for San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, yes. Oh, so many things. So many things. I've partnered with a company called Udon. So we will be at booth 4016, which is the normal booth I'm at every single year, signing every day. We'll have several cosplay guests that will be signing there, as well as a special appearance by Mark Bernardin, who is on Fat Man on Batman podcast with Kevin Smith.
So you're going to get Kevin Smith on our podcast? Is that what I heard?
No, but I could probably get Mark. I could probably get Mark.
I heard you're going to be hanging out with another big celebrity. I don't know if that's public or not, but if he doesn't end up on the show, I'm going to be very upset.
Hey, we talk about having him on because I want to have a discussion.
We talk about him all the time.
I want to have a discussion. Not Rooker. No,
there's another one that you put on Facebook a little while ago.
What are you doing next Saturday?
Yeah, what are you doing next Saturday?
30 seconds to Mars! Yes! I'm sorry.
There it is. Mr. Jared Leto.
Yeah.
It took a minute. I'm like, wait, what else is going on? No, but I am actually thing with Rooker that Saturday also at San Diego Comic-Con with Skybound. So I'm working with Skybound. We're doing some Twitch streaming there. You may have access to a certain truck to do live streaming from a really, really cool gaming company. So if that happens... I will be talking to Emma and we'll try to get our schedules together and maybe get some streaming done from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Taminator76, thank you for the sub, man. Hey. See, that's what it's all about.
But yeah, Emma, 30 seconds more, sorry.
Emma, your schedule is San Diego Comic-Con.
I only have one event. I will be at the fashion show. The Her Universe fashion show is next Thursday. I want to say doors open at 5:15. Line starts at 1, but there's, you know, there's not a huge line, so you do not need a badge to come. Oh. So if you don't have a Thursday badge, don't worry about it. You don't need a badge to come in. It's going to be great. It's a high fashion geek couture, so it's, you know, it's like, it's fashion,
sounds
but
fancy.
It's stuff that you like. Stuff that you like.
It's actually pretty cool because the winner of that gets a contract with Hot Topic.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the winner of the Her Universe fashion show goes on to design a line with Hot Topic. So last year at Hot Topic, they had all the Wonder Woman merchandise. All of that was designed by the winners of the previous year.
That's amazing. That's that they
this
do that.
Year, there is going, they posted this, so I can say this year, there's going to be a Disney line, a Disney fashion line at Hot Topic. That is being designed by last year's winners.
Ooh.
And yeah,
Rachel in chat. Too.
Rachel in chat. Ray Ray in chat. If you guys are in chat, please give a shout out and some love to Ray Ray. She is entering the fashion show. I am simply the one walking it down the runway. We want photos. Excited.
There's got to be photos. I've gotten to hear some of the. Emma's trusted me with some information. I want to be there so bad. It's gonna be amazing.
I'm excited.
What you got, Curtis? What you bumping?
I'm gonna be at SAC Sacramento Comic Con.
Yeah.
At my home.
Oh, CurtisCon.
CurtisCon. I'm just gonna be checking the social media. I guess checking, seeing what Emma's doing, seeing what Ivy's doing, hoping that one year I'll make it to a San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, word. I believe that. But other than that, I'll just be streaming online. Skip. Oh, I. twitch.tv/skipitosh, skipintosh. Just doing my thing on there. I probably will be covering some comics because I jumped back on my East to West wave, so let's go.
All right. I heard Century's back, too.
Century's back, and Jeff Lemire is writing it. He's one of my favorite writers, so I haven't checked it out yet. Man, my comic budget is, but I'm trying to keep up, though.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys so, so much. I hope there's some cool crossover stuff with Ivy and Emma. Ivy, you're going to show Emma a good time in San Diego, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have some fun. Yeah, I sent her a link to a cool event thing that's going on.
All right. That's it. Oh, that's the show. Yeah. I hope we didn't offend you. But if you still like us, come back next week. For Curtis, Emma, Ivy, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.